Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. Anybody got past the Monday blues? And we're going to get into an interesting show today. I have some articles I want to cover. Take your calls if you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, if you got some need.
I wanted to focus on an
article that I wanted to cover by Pam Grout, who's a writer, E-squared, E-cubed, and she's been writing for years and years and years. Non-metaphysical topics and also some metaphysical topics. So I wanted to get into that. And what we're going to talk about today is the idea of beliefs, but not necessarily religious beliefs. Yeah, I guess some of your beliefs could come from religion, but let me take you back in the Wayback Machine for a moment and go back about 7-8 years ago.
One of the things I found in my
work with people that what is the limiting factor in keeping you to get anything you want in your life is your beliefs. And I keep kind of preaching this, but let me get into Pam's article and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And I really want to work with people more on, okay, what is the belief that's or beliefs that are keeping you from getting what you want in your life. You know, I talk about this scale of from fear to love.
Have about yourself keep you in the
end of the scale because you're fearful of doing anything and you have doubts and doubts are created by fear and fear is created by beliefs. And you could look at any situation in your life that's not working for you. And you can say it's based on a programmed thought pattern, which is a belief of some kind. Okay, absolutely. Everything. So how do you get rid of them? Well, first of all, you have to identify them. But let me get into Pam's article. If you want to call in, we'll talk about anything and everything. Talk about
this out there because this is really important for me.
Work is helping people overcome their beliefs and reprogramming. Creating new beliefs, really, new beliefs. And the brain is quite capable of doing that because you stop thinking about those old thoughts and those old beliefs and you start thinking about new ones. Okay, so let me do Pam. Pam Grout, writer, wrote E-squared, E-cubed, great books on manifesting. So if you want to get into her books and read a little bit about her ideas on it. So, okay, let me start.
That it's about personal.
The article, anyway. Let's think up a world that no one has thought up yet. And that's her comment. Let's think up a world that no one has thought up yet. That's an idea, isn't it? Okay, this is Cheryl Strayed, who I don't know, but she quotes Cheryl. I strongly encourage you to let go of these beliefs. They are inaccurate, melodramatic, and they do not serve you. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Letting go of beliefs that are inaccurate, melodramatic, and letting go of any beliefs that do not serve you.
For finding a genius.
Buckminster Fuller used to say, a good mother. It's an interesting thought, a good mother. Why so? That she gets into it. What he meant by this is your mother or your parents in general believed in the goodness of the universe. If they saw that provincial glass as half full and they recognized the tremendous value in not just you, but in human beings, then you'll have a pretty good chance of realizing the genius within you. Okay, so if your parents
saw that
there was good in every individual, and that there was good in you as a child, and then there was something in you that you could use to be, I'll use the word special, or gifted, or talented in some way, and they promoted that. If the culture that formed our rudimentary belief system is generous, open, and tends to look on the bright side, then there's little that can stop you from becoming all that you're capable of becoming. Let me read that again. It's a very interesting statement. If the culture, now the culture would be your family culture, or maybe even your community culture, not necessarily.
The culture that formed you
rudimentarily, belief system is generous. So your basic belief system, you can be anything kind of belief system, right? You can accomplish what you want in life. You are gifted and talented, and you can become what you are. You will find your gift. You will find your talent. That kind of beliefs, okay, is generous, open, and tends to look on the bright side. Then there's very little can stop you from becoming all that you're capable of becoming. Now, you don't have to be a child. You don't have to be 10 years old. You don't,
and you can still
reach potential. That's what I believe. You can still change it, and you can use whatever years left you have on this particular lifetime to become that person. Okay, so let's go through this. I heard a joke once that only reason Jesus became Christ is because God alerted Mary before he was born that's who he was. Okay, so interesting statement, but let's go on. Our beliefs more than anything else shape our life experience. Let me read that again.
I'm trying to get to and help people with.
Our beliefs more than anything else shape our life experience. And most of our beliefs, and we have thousands, are picked up before we have much to say in the matter. So some people say that your core belief system is established before you're 10 years old. You know, if you have really a bad belief system and a negative belief system as a child, you got a lot of work to do when you get a little bit older, don't you? A lot of work to get rid of those beliefs. So desire all the positive affirmations and intentions for sex. Success
about how the world works is the core.
Create the framework of your reality. So despite all the positive affirmations and all the intentions and all your fundamental underlying, it's your fundamental underlying beliefs about the world and the essence of the world and the world of around you and the reality of the world that's going to be affecting you. So, you know, that sounds kind of negative in a way. It does, doesn't it? But you have to recognize that these beliefs, you can go through life saying positive affirmations, this and this and this and this.
Systems.
Causing you to react the way you do to the world and are limiting you from getting what you want. That was the problem with The Secret. They didn't talk too much about belief systems. They didn't talk about your core belief systems. You know, ask for something and you're going to get it, right? But you have to believe it. And you have to know that you're going to have it. And your belief system can't stop you and create doubt. We have doubt because we don't want to be disappointed. And then when we live with doubt, we become disappointed. I've said that before, and that's true. Ask yourself,
what's your bottom line belief of
good? Can they be trusted? That's a good statement. What is your belief about other people? Are they good? Can they be trusted? What about life in general? Is it hard, fun, or something to be endured? That's a really big question because I've heard, you know, that whole expression, life is hard and you're going to suffer and then you'll get your reward after you die. Right? Haven't you heard that one before? What about yourself? What adjectives would you use to describe yourself? How did your parents describe?
I don't remember my parents describing me in a
particular way. How about your mother? How does she describe you to other people? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it affirming that you're a special person? Our beliefs, the default setting we inevitably picked up when we were growing up, are usually served up with lots of rules, conditions, and limits. I like that. Our beliefs, the default setting we inadvertently picked up. I can't talk today. I'm sorry. picked up when we were growing up are usually served up a lot of rules.
Yeah, or a lot of limits. I mean, not just green.
Not just, you got to be careful crossing the street. You got to hold somebody's hand. And then later on, it goes on and on and on. Okay, so that's your beliefs. And we're handicapped from the beginning with negative beliefs. Most of the time, we don't even aware of the underlying beliefs that create our reality, which wouldn't be a problem if our beliefs are aligned with our aspirations, dreams, and highest values and highest self, okay? It's good to have beliefs that are
beliefs that, yeah, I can achieve my.
But if your beliefs aren't in alignment with that, then you start to have a problem. So all of this article that I'm getting in here to doing this today is really kind of getting the ground floor of what I really want to help people with is beliefs, changing these beliefs and helping you recognize the beliefs that aren't working for you. But when our belief blueprint suggests that the world is a scary place, that money is limited, that hard work is a necessary evil, well, we're going to have
creators of reality that
possible. Another belief that, you know, when you talk about relationships, you know, and we've developed these attitudes about men and women from a very early age, okay, and partnerships and relationships, and sometimes our history through relationships sets up a pattern about beliefs in people in our lives. It works in relationships, it works with money, it works in career. So what are your beliefs? Sadly, your beliefs don't
they determine how big a reality
imagine. Ooh. So I got into that, and I love that article because it's all about what I'm talking about. It's beliefs. And I talk about beliefs, and I talk about knowing, and I talk about all of that, and positive energy. So that's where I'm here for, is to help you to identify those beliefs that are keeping you from getting what you want, and helping you to change your beliefs and to
And I talked yesterday about
collapsing time for what you want. And I go back to a little bit of yesterday's discussion about being a psychic for 20 years. Talked a lot about that and talked about this whole idea that people would ask me questions and want a prediction, and I've given them a prediction, or other psychics will give them a prediction for a time frame. Because that's when the universe is aligned something for you. See, it's not the universe that is causing you not to get what you want. God, the universe, source energy, whatever you call it. That's not the problem. Okay, so you give somebody a prediction and they say, and if they believe it, then they're going to bring it forward. And that's the whole belief system that I've been talking about. And if you're into tying into what I'm talking about, it's your belief system about the prediction, about the subject of the prediction. One of the toughest ones I've ever done was when people would have been out of work for 6 months, a year, and they're calling in, and they want a prediction about when they're going to get a job. And they've built, at that point,
like a very negative themselves.
And so it's really difficult to create a positive energy, to get into a positive energy place and a positive feel-good place to attract and pull that job into the now. Because the universe will say, okay, a job is 6 months from now, a job is 3 months from now, a job is a month from now. It's there. Now it's your job, your responsibility to get the job, to align yourself with the job. And part of the
is to get into a positive place.
So to rid yourself of those beliefs, changing your beliefs, so that you can create a job and manifest a job or whatever it is. Or relationships are the same thing. It's all the same, whatever you're doing. So I want you to call in. Let's talk about any of this if you want to talk about any of this. I have some articles, and I always gather up a bunch of articles which are kind of related to the subject so that if nobody wants to call in and ask their specific questions. Now, I'm willing to do predictions, but I'm also willing to go and say, okay,
put out for you. You've been asking for this, and this is
what it is. But this is what's keeping you from getting it, or what might limit you from getting it. And if you want to pull it into your now, if you want to take that 3 months and make it a week, this is what you can do. And that's what spirit, I'm a channel, so spirit works through me in doing that. And I probably should channel my spirit guides today, but let's just get into an article. If you want to call in, you want to talk about anything, let's do it, okay? And if you want a prediction, I'll let spirit give you a prediction.
Jump on an article, and if you want to call in,
won't do the whole article, but I get a lot of articles from WebMD and BeliefNet.com and all over the internet just on basic topics, and I thought this one was an interesting in relationship to what we've been talking about beliefs. So I'm going to try to tie it in as best I can, and then we can go from there. It's called 21 Simple Ways to Quiet the Mind. Now, if you think about the mind and the thinking patterns that we have, if you're thinking negative thoughts, if you're thinking thoughts of those based on,
you really want to quiet those down. You really want
to. Okay? And we can talk more about how to shift if you're interested. Okay, so this is from Andrea Ferdatini, which I don't know, but the information was interesting. So it's a beautiful thing to have a full, busy life, a life that's filled with work, family, relationships, and hobbies. But many times that fullness can translate to overload, and you feel as though you just can't shut off the chatter in your brain. Is that true? You know, especially the negative chatter, especially the
limiting chatter, okay? Even
moments of relative quiet where you're laying in bed or commuting to work, your mind runs through an endless loop of worries and fears. And those are based on your beliefs, right? Your worries and fears are based on your beliefs. Believe it or not. Yeah, right. Conversations and plans. Worries, fears, conversations and plans, but mostly worries and fears, right? Not only does this create anxiety and stress, it also means that you miss out on the small and beautiful moments that present themselves into your daily life. And then one of the things we talk about is
to get what you want. Okay?
So presenting you, or call it God, synchronicity to get you what you want. But if you're so busy with a mind chatter, so busy caught up in your fears and worries, that you're going to start missing the synchronicities, the little things, the little prompts from the universe to help you get what you want. You know, it's like they're putting little path stones on the road for you to walk on, and you're missing them because you're off in la-la land thinking about your problems, worrying about this, worrying about that. So I thought this article was really interesting because it gets into
this.
They mentioned this, walk it out. Take a gentle walk. Be sure to stop and smell the roses. And they have a person walking in nature. So, you know, nature might be the best way to do it. You can walk in the city, but if you do, like, window shopping in the city, don't get into the fear mode. Oh, I can't afford that. I can't buy that. I don't have enough money for that. You know, so maybe nature's the best place to be, or someplace in a park or someplace. You get away from those places that might generate a little bit more fear and worry.
By the store, and there's a beautiful whatever
garments you want to wear, and you're going, well, I can't budget into that right now. So there you go. Just taking a nice walk somewhere, and now you're stressing yourself out over the walk. So nature is probably the best place to do that if you can. Park, you know, or even in your neighborhood where it's just homes, as long as you don't let jealousy get part of that, right? Or envy or whatever of your neighbors. Okay, so talking it out. Call a friend who doesn't mind listening to an occasional venting session. and let loose. I like that one, and I don't like that one. And what I don't like, it's good to be able to talk to somebody. It's good to be able to put it out there and express what's going on in your.
You got to be very careful with people
who are negative and have negative solutions or dump on you. You know, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And, you know, all you want somebody is to listen and go, I understand where you're coming from. I really feel I know where you're coming from. My granddaughter's in the other room having a fit. So you hear some noise that sounds like a child. It is a child, but she's not having a good day. She's like 2 weeks. Whoa, 2 weeks old and not having a good day. But there's plenty of adults around to help her. So that's a good thing. Okay, I'm back.
Systems.
Getting into a good place so that you can reframe yourself. Okay, hug it out. Cuddle up with your pet or loved one. Now, pets, they say that 12 hugs a day is really good for you. Hugs give you, okay, it says bonding releases hormones and serotonin. Serotonin is the hormone, and it's called the love hormone because it's a feel-good hormone. So go find somebody to cuddle with. Go find somebody to hug. Go find your pet. Go find your dog, your cat. Cat purrs are really good for you, too. So you want to endure
yourself, and hugs are probably one of the best.
That cuddling does the same thing. It is a hug, isn't it? Cuddling is a hug. It's a form of hug. It could be a horizontal hug instead of a vertical hug. Okay. I never thought of that before. It is, isn't it? Okay. Moving right along. Okay. I'm waiting for your calls, and I'm waiting for comments and questions about beliefs and what might be if you want a prediction about your future. But the prediction part is cool, but the next part of that whole thing is how to get there. How do you get there? How do you get to that place? How do you?
The universe is going to say, well, it's a month away.
Reduce that time frame. And that's what I like to talk about. How do you change it so you can bring that in to now? Okay, let me get into another one here. Write it out. We're talking about simple ways to quiet the mind, get yourself in a peaceful place. And if you get into this peaceful place, if you've been asking something for something, you're quiet and peaceful, you get messages, you get synchronicity, you get guidance to where to go, what to do, okay? Put all your hopes and dreams and disappointments in a journal. When you put down your pen and close the journal, you'll have a clean slate.
And there's
that ideomotor response, an ideomotor response of releasing energy through writing. Not necessarily to typing, but actually writing on a piece of paper with a pen or a pencil is a good way of releasing energy, trapped energy. I learned that in school somewhere along the line. I hope everybody's doing well in the chat room today. You have an overcoming fear of relationships. That's a tough one. But why would you? So when did that start? Let me ask you a question about it. I got somebody in the chat room, and they're talking about an overwhelming fear of relationships. And the first question I would ask, and if I was to work with you, and I do what I call a therapeutic meditation. It's close to hypnotherapy. I don't like to use the word hypnosis here because it's close, but it's not exactly the same place. It's kind of in a meditation, going to a really quiet place. And it's really kind of going back to where that all started. Where did it start?
And I'm trying to
look and see what they have to say too on this one, because this is not just me like from a book I read somewhere or a text or a class that I took. Okay, so I would ask you, and I don't want to get too much into a chat room discussion because that kind of but I would ask you, where in your early childhood, somewhere before the age of 12, were there male figures in your life who couldn't commit to relationships or couldn't stay in relationships?
Were there male? I mean, not just the father.
pastor, it could be an uncle, it could be friends. It's somebody in your early childhood who didn't stick with a relationship. Because we create a... Okay, so you didn't have a pattern of a father, so didn't have a father. So you didn't have a father, you didn't have the example of a father who could commit to a relationship, right? Because usually these things start when you're young, so you didn't have the example of who commits to relationships. First thing I would ask you, and I don't want to get too much into the discussion because we're not, you know, I don't have the time to go through all this, but I would ask you the question: do you believe that all men, being 3.5 billion of us in the world, cannot commit? Or is it just the ones that we don't have, just the ones that you run into? I got a caller, and I'll take you in a minute. Let me just go through this a little bit.
Can't commit. No men
for a relationship. There's no men in long-term relationships. Well, I want you to think about that. And if I was to go down this path of rewiring it, so you've created the thought pattern. You've created a thought pattern that men cannot commit. Yet that has become your belief that men cannot commit. Basically, in so many words, you've come to this belief system, so you have to change it. And the
and reprogram and all that stuff. But you
yourself, basically a mantra that there's something I believe, I am believing that there are good men out there who can commit. I am really believing, and I know that the universe can bring me one that can commit. And you create a mantra like that. And at some point, you have to kind of believe that there are good men in the world who can commit. And I believe, or I have faith that the universe, God, or whatever, can bring me one of those men. And the more you process that
thought of yes,
men, and I really do believe that there are good men in the world who can commit, and there are good men in my area that can commit. Because you're programmed to attract those who can't commit. And I believe and I have faith that the universe, God, whatever, higher source, higher power can bring to me a man who can commit. And by continuously changing our thoughts and reprogramming our thoughts, because a belief is nothing more than a thought that we continue to think. Simply put, a belief
to think. So if your thought
has experience that men cannot commit, that has become your belief. So you have to reprogram. And you do it subtly because you have to do it with things that you can believe, accept. Because if I was to tell you something and you go, yeah, all right, sure, that's crazy. You know, if I was to tell you that all men are wonderful and beautiful creatures and all men are amazing creatures, you'd go, right, sure, not all men. No, absolutely not. My experience doesn't tell me that, right? But if I was to tell you that there are good men and you can create the mantra
and commit, and if you, for example,
of those in community and friends, then you can change your thoughts, and you just have to reprogram yourself and create a mantra. But I am is an expression I use a lot. I am, which means I'm activating the force of the universe, the force of God, to believe this. I am activating the force of the universe to help me to create a new thought pattern. Right.
I am believing that
really good men out there who can commit. And that's a simple statement, because there are. Stay general. Don't get specific. Like, okay, got it. Let me take a call, and you work on that. And that's what I do with people, but I would do this in kind of more of a meditative state where, because then your ego is not in the way and your ego is not going, oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, right? Or you're opening your subconscious mind to do it. Okay, let me take a call. Hello?
Hi there, this is Anna.
Blog
talk. Crazy thing again about cutting out, so they thought they fixed it. Hello?
Yeah. Hi, this is Anna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, I'm calling because I've been dealing with my boyfriend kind of displaying that he's noncommittal off and on. And I've done some research. You know, he has some passive-aggressive stuff going on. I have my stuff going on, and so why I kind of keep sticking around. And so I'm trying to learn and understand, but at the same time, I'm just wondering, you know, do you see us working through this? Because I get that there's a reason behind his behavior, but it seems like a lot. A lot to work through. And
well, you want a very simple, you want a simple yes or no, don't you?
Not really. I know better.
Well, but it really comes down to almost a yes or no, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I'll tell you why. Because obviously you can't change him. How long have you been together?
So it's been almost 3 years, but we did break up for 1 year.
Yeah.
So
when you've been
yeah.
together 1 year, so you know a lot. After a year, you know a lot about this person, right?
Yeah.
Has there been dramatic changes within him in that year?
Well, not dramatic, no. And I saw it since we broke up. You know, some mindsets and thought processes have changed, but I'm finding not so much.
What's very typical is men say, oh, I'll do this and this and this because they don't want to lose you. And then
And they make an effort. I'm not.
I know men, and I've heard this thousands of times, it feels like, that yes, they'll make progress and they'll make commitments to do this and this and this, but eventually unless they get help, unless they realize that there's a problem, that then they just revert back to who they were. They may make subtle change. The answer I get for you is no. The answer no. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very difficult relationship. No, meaning that it's not.
You know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to work it out. Because for you to work it out means that he will change dramatically and be kind of a different person, right?
Well, I mean, there's a side of him I really love. It's just when it comes to working through any problems and a little selfishness there, I'd like that to change.
Yeah, the answer is no. And the answer is no, you'd have to be the adaptable one in this relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? You have to accept him as exactly the way
he is right now. And if you can do
that, you can make this relationship can keep going. Because you bring your frustration into the relationship, don't you?
I get frustrated with him, yes.
And he senses that you're frustrated. And so that creates, and then he gets stubborn or, you know, whatever you call it, and so that that starts the downward spiral in your relationship.
Yeah.
The way you can do it, what I hear for you, is just accept him the way he is and don't take it.
Blow it off.
Don't make a big issue out of it. If he realizes he's no longer getting to you, okay, that might alter his changing a little bit. You might know what happened to you. You want to know what happened to you. You're no longer getting upset with him. And you're no longer frustrated with him. I know that's tough, and I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do, but I'm saying that the answer is no if it goes on the same way it's going on right now. But you have to be the vehicle of change, is how I hear it.
Yeah. And you're right. When I just kind of ignore him and just get quiet and not mad, he does come around. It's just, and I'm learning too, like with passive aggressive behavior, you kind of have to do that. Just not let them get, show that they're getting to you. It's just, you know,
right.
I've always been a straight shooter. And so I'm just, usually just tell them exactly
you need to be a little more diplomatic, I guess is the word for it. But
yeah.
You want to be with it, bro. See, the thing is that you're not ready to leave the relationship.
No, I mean, I would like to see these, you know, certain things change, you know, for the better.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
But you can't expect it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You have to accept him as he is today and roll with the punches. And only really take strong stands when it really hits on one of your basic principles. You know what I mean? You can't be a doormat, but you can't just be blowing wind all the time at him either. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Try it.
Okay.
Just don't get upset. Don't react
all right.
to him.
Okay.
Okay? Take care.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And that gentleman believes, his belief system, and if I'm trying to read his energy properly, is this works for him. This is how he's learned to function in the world. Okay? Hopefully she'll hold on for a minute because kind of get this sense about him. This is how he feels that he has to function in the world. This works for him. His life set out and he does these things. And what I keep getting the sense or feeling from Spirit on this is if it stops working for him, if it doesn't work.
If he doesn't get the results, he thinks
situations. Okay? If it stops working, then it's a time to look at yourself and go, ooh. And I'm really feeling that about him because it's working for him. He's getting what he wants. If he wasn't getting what he wants, he wouldn't be in the relationship. We don't hang around in situations as men when it's just like it's not working for us. We're not getting something from it, whatever that is. So he's getting something, and so it's working for him. So if he stops getting what he stops getting it,
then he's open to change.
If you get that point, that's really kind of an interesting point, and that's what I heard. So, yeah. Don't, or the other way of Spirit would say to me, to say to you is, don't celebrate his badness by even making voice to his badness. Because his badness, I guess, I don't know why I use the word badness, but his attitudes, his way of living in the world, if you address that, and you, if you kind of like condone it in a way by reacting to it, then
that doesn't sound right.
Okay, let me go back to the article. It's something about ways to quiet your own mind is writing it out. So you might want to journal on this. Just journal it. If you get really frustrated with him, just journal about him or about the situation. Just pour all that energy into writing. You don't have to keep the journal. Yeah, don't have to keep it. You don't have to read it. Keep it and look at it. Just, you know, write it and destroy it. Sync your breath with movement. Not only does it feel good, but it's the most immediate way to yoke your mind to the present moment. So just deep breath.
You know, just taking a deep
breath and taking a very deep breath. And that quiets the mind. You want to get rid of that chatter, that frustration that's going on. You want to change your patterns, change your state. Tony Robbins talks about changing your state, and you want to get out of frustration. I like the next one is pursue a passion. Do something you love, whether it's a horseback riding, yoga, or writing poetry. You'll find that instead of having a scattered mind, you're singularly focused. So find something you love, whatever that is. It could be gardening. It could be hiking. It
could be whatever it is. It could be playing.
It doesn't matter. Do something that you love. That'll quiet the mind. And when we're talking about quieting the mind and this whole thing about beliefs, it gives your mind a chance to let go of whatever's frustrating you in the moment, whatever's worrying you in the moment, whatever stresses are in the moment. Like in the example of that woman with her boyfriend, it just, you can just let him go for the moment, just releasing for the moment. Feel good about it. It's about you feeling good regardless of what other people are doing around you. Because if you're around something that's somebody who's frustrating you because of their right, buy into their beliefs, react to their beliefs, because all that does is cause stress and worry. So let it go. Move away from it. Don't buy into it. Don't get caught up into it. Don't jump hook, line, and sinker into their beliefs. Okay, the next one I thought was kind of fun, and most people won't do this, but it's kind of fun anyway. It really gets you out of your head really fast. Have you ever been in this kind of situation? Be a daredevil, bungee jump, skydive, get up and sing karaoke. Get something that pushes you. Go on a roller coaster ride. The
mind alert. You ever been in this?
You're on a winding road, and you're driving, and you seem to be going too fast, and the road is really windy, or it's a snowstorm, and you're in that kind of like dangerous situation. Where is your focus? It's not on your boyfriend. It's not on your mother. It's on survival. At some level, you're about survival. I'm not saying you have to jump out of airplanes, but do something that just kind of shakes you up a little bit. You know, whatever it is, take a mountain bike ride through an area that's kind of rough. You know, I know people go, well, I don't want to get hurt.